The following program is paid for by CHI Mercy Health Mercy Medical Center. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Each weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, Talking Health, presented by CHI Mercy Health. Now, here's Talking Health with Lisa Platt on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Welcome to Talking Health, and yes, I am your host, Lisa Platt, back from a wonderful 12-day vacation. And where I went, it was warm, and it's cold here. But anyways, today we will be visiting with folks from the Roseburg Rotary Club and Casa de Belen. So in our first segment, we'll be visiting with Tabitha Lehman, who is the manager at First Interstate Bank and current Rotary president, as well as Zach Skogley, who's with Country Financial, who is the incoming Roseburg Rotary president. Hey guys, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks, Lisa, thanks for having us.
Well, I know that Tabitha's already been here, but I will let her go second. So we're going to ask you, Zach, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got to Roseburg, and why you are involved in Rotary.
Awesome. So I graduated Oakland High School, 2002 from Oakland High School. I lived in Grants Pass for a little while, 7 years, and I've been back in Roseburg for 2.5 years now. Even when I was in Grants Pass, I drove up and I did a lot of stuff with the Sutherland Rotary for 7 years, like once a month I drove up actually. And now I'm part of Roseburg Noon Rotary Club. And it's just a great thing for me to be able to give back. I know a lot of people aren't as fortunate as I am. And around here, you know, I've been one of the less fortunate people. So it just means a lot to give what I can.
Great. Well, welcome, Zach. Tabitha, you've been the president of Rotary, but you've been on the show before. So get us all acclimated to Tabitha Lehman again.
All right. So also born and raised in the area, Sutherland native. And I have four small kids at home and was just looking for a way to be involved and came across Rotary. So pretty excited to be here today and share with you a little bit about that.
Well, terrific. Well, we feel that volunteerism is good for our hearts. So how do Rotarians get involved in our community? And Zach, as the incoming president, we're probably going to pick on you just a little bit more.
Hey, that's perfect.
Okay.
So every person in Rotary is just like every person everywhere else. We all have a different set of skills, and we all bring a different value to the table. So we just come together as a group and try to use each other's strength to work at a team to accomplish things. So this year, Tabitha and the other presidents coordinated to give Chromebooks to one of the elementary schools. Last year, Matt Cowell was our president, and we did the cleanup at Gaddis Park and refreshed some things out there. All throughout the community, you can see the projects that we've done. And then, of course, the one everyone knows, the Festival of Lights and the 4-H auction.
Okay. Tabitha, you want to add anything to that?
Just really, I think it's really great for a lot of our Rotarians to be able to connect with our youth. That's really what our club in this area is focused on, is just a lot on our youth and being able to be mentors for them and learn a lot from them as well as we go.
Terrific. So speaking of mentors, as the outgoing president of Rotary, what type of training do you go through, and can you give Zach over there any pointers for becoming the incoming president?
Sure. So there's a couple different training options. One of those, Zach actually just got back from last night. So PETS is up in Seattle every year. It's a pretty intense 3-day training up there that we go through. And we learn just all kinds of skills. The cool thing about Rotary training is it actually can help you in a lot of other ways. It's career-driven, can help you a lot with your career, some leadership skills, public speaking skills, and, yeah, just different ways like that. We have a training in Cottage Grove every year as well for just our district level that we go to, and we have a Rotary Leadership Institute and a grant writing seminar, which are both optional courses that you can go through as well. So tons of training out there. Of course, we use the technology that's available today to have some of those trainings as well. And Zach, do you want to share a little bit about kind of what you went through this weekend? Just did it?
Yeah, actually, so it was 4 days for me. Mine started on Thursday, so Thursday through Sunday. And the schedule was actually 7:30 a.m. to about 11:30 p.m. at night. My longest break was 30 minutes. So it was just course after course, and you get thrown into a room with Rotarians from all the different districts in the Pacific Northwest. So from Alaska to Northern California, lots of Canadians. So it was just lots of fellowship in those classes and learning different perspectives and how different clubs are operating, the problems and solutions in different communities. But it was a lot of information to try to take in a pretty short period of time.
So, Tabitha, you mentioned that this presidential Rotarian training you went through has helped you in your career. Tell us how the impact that it's had on your career.
Sure. So, you know, some of those things that I mentioned, you learned some leadership skills. So there's classes you go through where you learn different ways to lead. And, you know, a lot of leading is not from the front of the pack, but, you know, really being behind everybody and being able to support your group. And you learn a lot of that as you go through those classes. They have some public speaking classes, which for me was what I really needed when I started. I was pretty nervous to get up in front of everybody. A lot of people don't realize recently Rotary's actually partnered with, help me, what is it?
Toastmasters.
There we go. So even more classes are going to be coming from that. So that helps, you know, a lot in your careers. But, you know, another piece that I think people oversee a lot is just the relationships you build. So career-wise, you know, I've got to know a lot of people out in our community and get involved in different ways just through the relationships I've built in Rotary.
Okay. So, Zach, you talked a little bit about how you used to drive up and do some things for Rotary. How does someone locally get involved with Rotary?
You know, we meet every Thursday at Roseburg Country Club at noon. We'd love to have you as a guest. You can just come out. We'll buy you lunch, and you can see what our lunch program looks like. But typically what happens is we get on the hunt for volunteers because we get these big projects, and we need a lot of help. The Festival of Lights, for instance, we incorporate so many different companies and organizations that just bring the community together, and people learn that that's put on by Rotary, and they want to know, what's Rotary? How do I get involved? And then you get to come and have free lunch, and that kind of starts your process.
And I know this isn't, it's probably too soon for this, but because we're on the question about how do people get involved with Rotary, is there a website that people can connect with you? And if so, can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, so we have www.roseburgrotary.com. We also have a Facebook page that we update with different events we have going on and ways to get involved. So you could always reach out to us that way as well.
Okay.
Yeah, give us a like and share on that if you would.
Okay, terrific. So let's talk a little bit about Rotary's international program and how it got started. I think it got started with polio.
I'm not sure that the international program itself got started with polio, but polio was a project that Rotarians took on starting in 1985.
Okay.
So remember, any great idea was first a crazy idea, and there were over 350,000 cases of polio causing disabilities all over the world, and a group of people said, well, let's do something about it. And again, they were to take their collective group of skills and a whole lot of ambition and get started, and we are now 99% have eradicated polio from the planet. So from 350,000 cases down to last year, there were 144 cases recorded on the entire planet. So just through that structure and the infrastructure they've laid in doing those things, now we're able to accomplish smaller projects in all those communities too. So last year, even our Rotary Interact kids, which is our high school students, did a project and a fundraiser and worked with the Heartwood Project. and they put a well in a school in Africa. So they never had running water there before, and our local high school students were able to accomplish that.
Are there other international projects that you would care to mention about?
Sure. So as Zach mentioned, you know, he talked a little bit about the clean water projects that go on out there. We also have what are called shelter boxes, which are kind of a box essentially that can be dropped in that provide emergency supplies. And so that's a great thing to have available. And then there's also been just one I know that we touched on last year was education for women in Africa. So there was some communities that were partnered with over there who educated women on, you know, different ways of mothering, essentially, helped learn some skills for them to, you know, provide different nurturing things and education and those type of things over there.
So you did mention the Interact program for youth. So, and it's through Roseburg High School, correct?
Yep.
And how do high school students get involved in that program?
So same kind of structure. So okay. They sign up, friends tell them about it, they hear about it, and they want to be part of it. Interact is really like a mini Rotary, and they have, some communities have Rotaract, which is a college level group. But they, same structure, they have meetings every week, and they have projects that they're working on, and it's quite inspiring. If I ever have a moment where I'm feeling burnt out or something, I think about these high school age kids that are making these huge differences. They make them on their high school campus, they make them out in the community, and they're doing international projects as well. It's just amazing to see our youth really making those changes.
Perfect. So we talk about youth in our community, and we talked to you guys, shared with us some of your projects with the lamb show, the fair auction, your loans for animals. Tell us what all of that means, and you get 2 minutes to do that before we get to go to break.
Tell us, what do you mean all of
that? Tell us about how what those projects are.
Oh, copy. So the lamb show is part of the 4-H auction that we have out at the fair every year. We're so thankful to Sam Lee, who really heads that up for us and takes care of that. And then we have the Loans for Animals program. I actually don't know much about that, but what I do know is that in promoting those 4-H projects and the FFA projects, we're working with youth and teaching them responsibility, how to care for something else that's alive for a while, and how that just works in our ecosystem as a community here.
Great. So basically what happens with the loans is that the student actually has to develop a business plan, and they present it to the group that's reviewing it, and it has to be detailed. It includes the animal costs, the food, any related expense that they're going to come across, and then they get to borrow that money, and when they sell it, they have to pay it back. So not all students do it that way, but, you know, some do. It's a great program to have out there. And one really cool thing about our auctions this year is we raised over $1 million and passed back to the kids here, right here in Douglas County.
That's terrific. Well, I think this will be a good opportunity for us to take a short break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Talking Health on Local Talk at 4, brought to you by CHI Mercy Health on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hi, it's Lisa Platt, and we are back with Talking Health presented by CHI Mercy Health. Next week, stay tuned. It's going to be another surprise. Sometimes we have those surprise shows, and we just want to make sure you tune in so we don't tell you who's going to be here. But today we have Tabitha Lehman, current president of the Noon Roseburg Rotary, and Zach Scogley, who is the incoming president. So thank you both for coming back. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Lisa.
So we were talking about the lamb show, the auction, and loans for animals. Why has the Rotary been so involved with animals and youth, getting them connected together? Tabitha?
You know, it just plays such a important role. Zach touched a little bit on it earlier, but it's something live these kids have to take care of. It's not something they can just, you know, pick and choose the days they want to do it. It's really teaching some responsibility. And there's a lot of life lessons, I think, that can be learned in the barn.
So I'm going to throw this question out there. What is involved with RILA, and how many kids do you have in local Rotary clubs?
So RILA is Rotary Youth Leadership in Action. Is that right? There's so many acronyms all the time.
Sounds like healthcare.
Yeah, but it's a 6-day intensive leadership camp. It's limited to high school sophomores, not just Roseburg High School kids, but any of the local high schools can apply, and homeschoolers also. So if you just contact our club, you can apply for that. Our club supports about 2 kids a year, and the other Rotary clubs each support 1.
Yeah, so in the area, we're sending about 4 or 5 kids every year to that camp.
Awesome. So I understand that you all give out scholarships to students. What's the process for getting a scholarship, and how does Rotary encourage higher education?
So there's a couple ways to get different scholarships. So, you know, one of those ways is just going onto our website and applying. That's probably the most easy front, you know, scholarship way. But we also have a couple other things we do. So we do support. This year we agreed to support a kiddo to the Learning Matters Academy here in Roseburg. So that was one way that another scholarship was provided. And also, for those of you who are familiar with the Future First Citizen that we used to have, last year it kind of went on a hiatus, and this year has made its way back. We were able to be one of the 9 sponsors for that as well. So giving out scholarships through that program.
So I also understand that exchange is a big part of Rotary for both adults and youth. So can you talk a little bit more about that? I think with both, not just youth, but adults too. That was a new one for me, so.
Yeah, so as far as the youth go, every year since the 60s, we've supported an inbound exchange student, and we have Rotarians here locally that agree to be a host family for a portion of the time so they get to really live and experience our culture while they're here. It helps not only educate the student, but our club on their culture, too, because they get to bring a lot to us, and that's really great. It helps everyone with a better understanding of the world. We've been really fortunate to have so many sons and daughters. Actually, we have a lot of outbound students that we've sent, too, and I keep trying to talk my son into it, but, you know. So adults, we have the group study exchange, and that's where we send a group to another country on a very similar thing, but it's only for 30 days, and you get to live in the country with people that live there. So it's not just, you know, a resort like you might go on vacation, but you get to go and really experience the culture there. And we love to send people on those. Tabitha, do we have any other adult exchange programs?
Yes. So besides the group study exchange, we also have the friendship exchange. So the difference between that, it's a group study exchange is really for, you know, younger generation between 25 to 40 and in a profession for at least 2 years and planning to stay. So they're, you know, in their career, they know where they want to be. They pay about $700 and they go for 3 to 4 weeks. They do have to live in our district, but they don't necessarily have to live in Roseburg. And it doesn't have to be a Rotarian. So that's kind of exciting and a good way to get involved with Rotary in another way. And then the friendship exchange, you do have to be a Rotarian, but you can be any age. And you go, it's like going for 2 to 3 weeks to stay at your best friend's house somewhere else, basically. You go, you live like them, you live with them, you get to experience everything. And it's just a really great friendship you make cross-country.
Great. That sounds like a fabulous program. I'm surprised you haven't sent me somewhere, Kathleen. Oh, Kathleen, don't.
Just for the one. The other one you don't.
Yeah, Kathleen, don't. I'm moving on. Are there, do we currently have foreign exchange students now? And if so, can you share with some of the countries they're from with us?
Sure. So we have four students actually right now across the Roseburg footprint. So we have a young man from Germany, someone from Paraguay, Guatemala, and Ecuador. And what's also kind of unique for us in this area is our foreign exchange student from last year missed us so much. She's actually back for a one-month visit right now, staying back with some families here, just having a blast. And we also have a young lady who runs a business here in Roseburg who was a foreign exchange student for our club some probably 20 years ago. I hope it was that long, because if not and she's listening, she's going to be real mad. But
it's okay.
I think it was about 20 years ago.
It's okay. Kathleen was one of the first Rotarians, female Rotarians. So.
But yeah, she came back. She was a foreign exchange student and came over and left for a short time and came back. So it's a great program.
So what process does somebody have to go through to become an exchange student? Just apply? Do you do an interview? Do they have to write a narrative about why they want to be an exchange student?
So, well, first we recruit, right? So we have to spread the word on this. A lot of people don't even know that's an option for them, or just like the scholarships we're talking about, as we're promoting these things now, we keep getting, wow, I didn't know you guys did that. And here we've been doing it for a lot of years. So we recruit, number one, and then they complete an application in November. Following the application process in December, we do the interviews, and then we select the students, and then training and orientation begins. And that's a six-week-long kind of journey they're going to go through to learn about language and culture, and you know what kinds of things they can anticipate if they go and what country they're going to go to. Usually we learn that in January, and when they're going to leave and which academic year it's going to be in, how that's going to affect their schooling here, because not everybody has the same education system. And the cost on that is about $6,000. Now that may seem like a lot, but, you know, think about raising your kid for a year, right? It's going to be more than $6,000. So for $6,000, you can help your student potentially go and just get this otherworldly experience.
And I always say I don't want to make assumptions. So when this foreign exchange student from the U.S. goes to these other countries and are being hosted by that family, does that family speak English so that the student can understand, or is it kind of like?
Not always.
Okay.
Depending on where they go, some cultures, you know, English is a second language, and so yes, that happens, but not always. You know, it's just like them coming here. A lot of times they're placed in our homes, and we have no idea how to speak their, you know, language. So you learn as you go. And, you know, our gentleman from last year that went, Alex Simmons, he traveled to Spain. And, you know, the first couple months, I think, were a little difficult for him getting through and learning that language. But once he got it, he was good.
Okay. So Rotary has a four-way test. What is it and why is it so important to Rotary?
Yes. So the four-way test was actually proposed in 1935, and then it was adopted by Rotary International in 1942. The test itself is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? And will it be beneficial to everyone concerned? So I think it's really important because we have a set of core values, right? So it's a perfect filter to run things through before we take on a project or even release a newsletter. It gives us a chance to make sure that, you know, in this day and age when it's hard to trust some of the news that you find, you always know that if it's coming from the Rotary, it's the truth and it's fair and it's there to foster goodwill.
Terrific. You want to add anything to that, Tabitha?
I think Zach really hit the nail on the head. I mean, it's just really, you know, when you think about raising your kid, it's something you'd want to tell your kid, right? It's just it's a good way to treat life.
Okay, terrific. Well, guys, why don't you share with us some of your thoughts about why you got involved with Rotary, why you want to be a Rotarian, and why you are a Rotarian here in Douglas County.
So for me, it started as a way just to be involved and give back to my community and the career I have. You know, it's go out and network, find something to do. So I found it. But as I've gone along, I really enjoy that it's something I can bring my kids with me to. They can be involved with it. It's not just myself. I also appreciate that Rotary is a volunteer organization, so the majority of the money that we raise actually goes directly to the product or to the projects that we do and not to administrative costs. So, you know, it feels like what you're doing, that goodwill comes really back. Really, though, the biggest reason I stay is the relationships and the friendships I've made. So, you know, there's a lot of people whose paths I've crossed that I probably wouldn't have crossed in another capacity. Kathleen's one of them that I've got to know along the way. And, you know, I just really, it has changed my life for the better to have some of those friendships. So I really appreciate Rotary for that.
Zach?
Fantastic. So initially, I too was a banker once upon a time. And I got involved to just learn how to network and work with other business professionals and meet some of those people. And as I progressed through all of these things, I learned that it's a great place to seek wisdom and mentorship and get trained up in leadership. You know, a lot of times people don't even realize they're mentoring you, but when you're around a certain quality of people, you tend to start absorbing those qualities. So I know that for every next level in life, it's going to require the next level of me, right? So I want to make sure that I'm always in a place where I can get new, good information that's just really going to help me be a better person. And of course, giving back, you know, it's volunteer central. It's, you know, if there's a project, that's the place to go. And Rotarians are people of action. And that's what I like, because it's really easy to sit around and talk about how these problems we have. And you know what we should do? Well, that's what Rotarians do. And then we put our money where our mouth is. So if that's you, then you should be in Rotary.
Well, terrific. I want to thank you both for being here today. Tabitha Lehman, who is a financial manager for First Interstate Bank, the outgoing Rotarian president, and Zach Skogel, who works for Country Financial. He is the incoming Rotarian president for the Roseburg Club. Thank you both for being here. And now we're going to take a short break. You've been listening to Talking Health on Local Talk at 4, brought to you by CHI Mercy Health on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back to Talking Health. We want to thank Tabitha and Zach for being here. And now we have our two new guests. We have Matt Kowal from Casa de Belen and Shelly Briggs Loosely from Casa de Belen. And they are acting board members. So they're going to be here to talk to us all about what's going on with Casa de Belen. But first, before we get started, I always like to give our audience an opportunity to get to know you. So Shelly, Matt's been here a number of times. We'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, why you're here in Roseburg, and how you got involved with Casa de Belen.
Everyone's smiling at me.
Closer.
I came to Roseburg at the end of 1981 to be married. I left a great job in Portland, then found one in Roseburg eventually. And over time, most of my volunteer roles have been with the agencies are generally involved with children and youth and of all ages. So this one is a new demographic for me, and I've been on the board not quite 2 years, and we're the new Casa de Belen.
Terrific. Matt?
All righty. So I came here to Roseburg to manage Banner Bank and got involved with Casa de Belen about a year after I came down here, just because, again, youth is inspiring to me, And especially homeless youth, those kids that can't go home and call a place to their own for bed at night, really inspired me to get involved in the community. And I'm so lucky to have an employer that allows me to take time out of my workday to come to these type of things and get involved in my community.
So both of you are board members, and Matt, you're the chair?
I'm currently the board chair, yes.
Okay. I'm the vice chair.
All right, so we got chair and vice chair with us today. So for folks who don't necessarily know what Casa de Belen is, let's talk a little bit about what that is and then why it is the new Casa de Belen. Who wants to take that one?
I'll start, and Matt can add. And
okay, sounds great.
Questions. We're a youth homeless shelter for ages 20 and under, and keep
it's really a transitional housing for those youth that for some reason they've become homeless, not maybe a choice of their own, but by a choice of their own, maybe they're running from something that they need a safe place to go at night, and Casa de Belen can provide that shelter for them. We also do mentorship. We also try to help them get involved with making sure they can get a driver's license, job placement if they need to, make sure they're getting to school on time. Sometimes those kids that's all they have is us here at the shelter to get them up in the morning and get them to school. So just that kind of a safe place for them to lay their head down at night and make sure that they get a meal to eat at nighttime, because we do feed them at nighttime. Breakfast is usually on their own, and lunch, they're hopefully at school or at work or something like that. So that's where Casa de Belen comes in.
So can you give us a little history? I don't know who wants to take that one, of how it all got started.
Sure. I'll tell you what I know. It started,
and we can all fill in.
Yeah, yes. we can all fill in. So back in the day, it was started by Father Juniper. Father Juniper had run a similar type situation in a different city, brought it here to Roseburg, and then he exited Roseburg, and then we had a new executive director kind of come on board. And up about 2 years ago, we made some organizational changes. We had shut the location down for about a year while we made those organizational changes, just because we felt that we could do a better job. And with no homeless or with no youth there at the time, we had to go by and do some repairs to the building. Had to make sure everything was set in place so we could move forward. And probably 3 months ago, we reopened our doors. And ever since we reopened our doors, we've been at max capacity for a number of days, just because of the type of situation that we have and the number of employees that we have. We can only have a max number of youth. So if we can somehow figure out how to get more money into our doors, then we can access more youth.
We are licensed for 30 and are probably perfect number, depending on their different needs, because they're all different, might be 15. And I believe our largest number since we've been open has been at 12. We have two intakes waiting this week right now, which would bump us up maybe at 13. And there's sometimes our exits as well, which are caused by various reasons.
Okay. So when we talk about traditional or transitional housing, what does that mean for youth, homeless youth?
What that means for homeless youth is that we provide them services throughout the day. We provide them the place to sleep at night. And we hope to get them back on their feet fairly quickly. But there is no timetable of when we're going to ask them to leave. But if they're showing progress to make their life right again, whichever way that is, then they can stay as long as they need to. But again, transitional it's not necessarily going to be there where they're going to bring in boyfriend, girlfriend, and raise a family in the shelter. It's for individual youth to come and make that transition into permanent housing somewhere else.
So, I mean, approximately now that the doors open
November.
What's the length of stay?
We've had some kids there from day one. And we've had some kids that have been there 2, maybe 3 weeks, and then for some other reason they've exited, or maybe a choice of their own, or maybe because there are rules and regulations that we have to follow, so being registered by the state. And if they break any one of those rules, then they may be asked to leave.
Okay. How do you work with the DHS, Department of Human Services?
So DHS does provide us some funding. There's a mentor grant, And then there's also the housing grant that the homeless grant that they provide to us, and it is to help those youth in need. And so, but again, it takes a lot of other sources to make the place run.
Okay. So we've already kind of covered what that age range is. So I want to talk a little bit more about your board, because with both of you being board members and Kavanaugh not having the opportunity to join us today, how is the outside of having some employees, how does the board govern Casa de Belen?
The board so every once a month we do have a board meeting, and at those board meetings we have a financial report that we go over to figure out where we are financially. Then we also have the executive director report. They fill us in on a day-to-day operations of what's been happening at the home. I know some of us are able to go on a daily basis. Some people some of the board members stop by on a weekly basis or whatever it is, but we're always in communication with one another to figure out where Kavana is in the transition, and if she needs any additional assistance or anything like that. One of us board members are always willing to step up and help, because again, it takes a village to raise these kids nowadays, not only in our personal lives, but especially when we're dealing with these type of clientele.
Correct.
We are their parent.
Most definitely.
Yeah, that's what I've experienced when I'm in the building and just watching.
So why is it so important for us to have this available for homeless youth?
To me, it's very important, because they are our future. These young kids don't know what the reasoning that they became homeless themselves. Like I said in the very beginning, it could be some of their own. Maybe they left an abusive situation at home. Maybe they weren't following the rules at home and they were asked to leave their homes. But everybody deserves a chance to try to make it out in this world, because it is hard nowadays, especially with the peer pressures of school and trying to work and everything like that. So to be able to have a safe place for these kids to go and find that family that they're looking for, rather than underneath the bridge or somewhere else, it's important that they have, like I said, a meal to eat at night and some other friends around themselves. So I think that's what the reason it's made important for me.
So how do you reach these kids? I think that's a big question folks have in the community, is what are the efforts that COS is doing to reach out to kids that need a place?
Kavana is working through the schools and going on shows like this when she can make it without being in the facility, and going to clubs and organizations. So we're getting the word back out there, and so far it has not been a problem. The need is out there, and word of mouth. Many youth have come to us because their friend has been there and they know they want to tour and learn the ropes.
So you do have some objectives for kids when they're there, meaning you have some guiding values, which I understand is independent living, self-sustainability, and getting them involved in the community. How do you do those things?
Independent living. So we have there's a social, not really a social worker, but a case manager that will take, that is assigned to the children, to get them to go to the DMV, get a driver's license, take them to doctor's appointments, medical appointments, whatever they need to do to become sustainable by themselves or independence. We have, like I said, there's rules and regulations they have to follow. They have mentorships from within the community that come and volunteer and maybe take them for a day of outing or something like that. I know Shelley has been a mentor to a few of the kids as well. And that's really what they're looking for, is they're looking for somebody that they may be able to tell their story to that's willing to listen.
Okay. Well, guys, we'll take a break right now. This is our last break, so stay tuned. You've been listening to Talking Health on Talk Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
We are back with Talking Health, and joining us today has been Shelley and Matt. They are board members, chair and vice chair of Casa de Belen. So thanks, you guys, for coming back. We want to talk a little bit about some of your funding challenges and exactly some of the costs of how much it costs to keep a kiddo at Casa de Belen. So you're the banker.
I'm the banker.
Okay.
So on an average, it probably costs about $150 a day to house one youth. And with our funding nowadays, like I said, we were licensed up to 30. But with our staffing, we're comfortable about half of that, about 15, even though we were licensed up to more, because it costs money to run it. And one thing that we are comfortable with is that we do own our building, so we're not paying like a mortgage or anything like that. But again, to be able to provide services, we try to get as many free services as we can from the community, working with UCAN, working with anything that's willing to help us. But it has cost them to feed them and to keep the lights on, as well as we do have some professional staffing that we have to accomplish, because these kids aren't the most easiest kids sometimes to deal with. And so we can't just – some of the employees have to have some kind of psychologically degrees or something like that, just because these kids are troubled youth sometimes.
What are your funding sources?
Well, we have the one grant from DHS for homeless and runaway youth, and we have received some contributions from Ford Family Foundation. We're preparing to write another grant to them to help us become sustainable. We also are working with OCF, Oregon Community Foundation. We have received, at the year end of 2019, a grant from Crane Creek Foundation. So we're just getting back up and started with looking at where we can go for foundations and funding. And that is our biggest challenge at the moment, along with the daily operation of curveballs.
Sure. So outside of grant funding, that's pretty much your funding sources right now.
Yes. Correct. And individual donations.
Okay. But. So if people hearing this today, if they want to make a donation, where do they send it? Who do they talk to?
They could get a hold of Kavana Kochi, our executive director. They could stop by, or they could mail something, or they could phone and then start a conversation.
So I need phone number, website, mailing address?
Yes, ma'am. You can call 541-677-0073, or you can stop by at 1199 Northeast Grandview, which is off of Stevens near
Bob's Deli.
Yeah, Bob's Deli. That's my landmark. And what's our website? We do have a website.
CasaDeBelen.org.
Yeah. Okay. So one more time on the phone number and the address.
The phone number, 541-677-0073. And the address is 1199 Northeast Grandview. And that is off of Stevens by Bob's Deli.
Website is CasaDeBelen.org.
.org. Yes.
And do you need volunteers?
We could always use volunteers.
So if they want to volunteer, they can call that number or go out to your website?
Yep.
Okay. And then I have one more question for each one of you. Why do you volunteer as a board member at Casa de Belen, Shelley?
To make a difference in those lives of those youth. It's a different population than I've ever been involved with, and we can make a difference.
Okay. Matt?
Same thing. I think that our community needs us, and whatever I can do to give back to our community, whether it be and especially with the youth. Youth is my passion.
Okay. If there's one takeaway you want folks to leave with today, what will it be?
Come by and visit us, see what we look like, and then maybe you'll get involved, excited, and even
make a donation.
Way to contribute.
Okay, terrific. Well, I want to thank you both for being here today, Shelley Briggs Loosley and Matt Kowal.
Kowal.
From, who's the chair of the Casa de Belen, and Shelley Bean, vice chair. Also want to thank our folks from Rotary that were here, Tabitha and Zach. Hey, if you have any topics you would like for us to visit in the future, I want you to get a hold of my pal over here, Kathleen Nickel, and you can always reach her at Mercy Community Relations at CHI West, or you can Facebook her messenger. She loves Facebook. Stay tuned for next week's show because it is the mystery show, as I don't know who we're having on the show, but it's always a lot of fun just to show up and see who I'm going to be talking to, like today, Matt and Shelley. So there you have it. Talking Health is brought to you by CHI Mercy Health. Pleased to sponsor Talking Health here on KQEN Local Talk at 4. On behalf of Mercy Medical Center, please, please remember to be kind to one another, eat healthy, exercise when you can, and have a happy, healthy week.
The preceding program was paid for by CHI Mercy Health Mercy Medical Center. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.